ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्. Today we start another beautiful chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, which is considered as the heart of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita as a whole is considered as the essence or heart of the 108 Upanishads. We saw Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha. So when the Upanishads are compared to the cows, then the milk, the essence of that cow is what has been milked by Bhagwan and give fed to Partha, the calf first, and then on to us. Similarly, if Bhagavad Gita were to be compared to a cow, then this is the milk. This chapter 15 is the essence. And because it is the heart of Bhagavad Gita, it is said that when we chant this chapter, it is like chanting the entire Bhagavad Gita. So the entire Bhagavad Gita, just the chanting part, takes about 3 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours. Chapter 15 will take only five minutes. It is one of the smallest, as we have seen, chapter 12 and chapter 15 are the smallest chapters with 20 verses each. And they take only 5 minutes to chant. And just 5 minutes of chanting will give us the merit of having chanted the entire Bhagavad Gita. That is the importance of chapter 15. It is very popular because in most of the Vedantic ashrams, those who teach Vedanta, this chapter is chanted before meals. And the reason that it is chanted before meals, of course, the first thing is that it is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. It's like chanting the entire Gita. But in this chapter, there is no ignorance. If you see, this is the only chapter where Arjun has not spoken or asked any question. In this dialogue between Bhagwan and Arjun, Arjun represents ignorance, Bhagwan represents knowledge. So in this chapter, there is no ignorance because Arjun has not asked any question. It starts with Bhagwan Uvacha and it finishes without any interruption by Arjun. So there is no ignorance in this chapter. The other thing about this chapter is that Bhagwan says, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva, having become the digestive fire in the stomach, I digest all the meals of all the beings. And so that's why also it is chanted before meals. To memorize this, it is very easy to memorize. And I would suggest that some of you probably have it memorized, but those who have not can do so while we are studying this, because when you hear the meaning of the verses, it will help in the chanting. And if you can get into the practice of chanting, it doesn't have to be chanted before meals per se. You can chant it anytime during the day. and it gives you the benefit of chanting the entire Gita. It is also said that since Bhagavad Gita was uttered by the Lord himself, when we chant any verses from the Gita, Bhagwan takes Naam Avatar on our tongue. Bhagwan takes Avatar on our tongue. We have heard in chapter 14, Yuge Yuge, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. And Yuge Yuge has very commonly been translated as the four yugas. So in every yuga, we see that Bhagwan has taken Avatar. Ram Avatar, Krishna Avatar, or all the nine avatars have happened, and Kalki is going to be coming. So we think that Yuga Yuga means in every Yuga Bhagwan will come, but Yuga Yuga also means moment to moment. And moment to moment, Bhagwan will take avatar when you chant the Gita or when you remember him. So when you remember Bhagwan, Bhagwan will take avatar in your mind, on your tongue. That is the importance of chanting Bhagwan's name. And another importance is it purifies speech. The body can be purified by soap and shampoo and everything. How do you purify speech? By taking the name of the Lord. And what better way than to chant the Gita? So the best way to memorize this, which I have used myself, and then I have told a few people, and they have come back to me and said that it has worked, is you keep the book open and chant with your eyes on the verses for 15 days, once every day, without the thought that I am memorizing this. I have to memorize this. No, no stress. Chant it just for the heck of it. Bhagwan, I'm just chanting. That's it. I don't want anything out of this. Not even purification of the mind, not even purification of speech, nothing. So absolutely stress-free, without any purpose, without any ulterior motive. Bhagwan, I want you to be pleased with me. Bhagwan, I want you to take avatar on my tongue. Nothing like that. Just stress-free. Keep your eyes on the verses. What will happen is after 1 or 2 days, you might memorize the first verse. So you think, oh, first verse I know. So let me close my eyes and chant the first verse. And the second verse I'll open. Don't do that. For 15 days, keep your eyes open. Keep them on each syllable. Move your eyes and chant and read. Okay? Don't worry about the pronunciation. Bhagwan is not looking at pronunciation. Bhagwan is looking at the bhava, the emotion. The emotion of devotion is what Bhagwan is looking for. So do not worry about the pronunciation. As we study this chapter and as we chant, the pronunciations will come. Okay. So this is the one chapter which presents, like I said, it's the essence. It presents a total thought of whatever was said from verse 11 of chapter 2 to chapter 14. The total thought will be presented in this chapter. And this chapter is the only one which deals with the three basic questions of Vedanta, where we start Vedanta with the three questions. Who am I? What is this world? And who is the creator of the world? So these three questions are answered in this chapter. These three questions have been answered by Bhagwan previously, but they are scattered. They are in different chapters. So in one chapter, in 20 crisp verses, Bhagwan is giving the entire Vedantic philosophy. He's answering the three questions. The world is described in detail. Why? So that we can develop dispassion towards it, not that we indulge in it. So Bhagwan starts off describing the world, and then he says, who is Jiva? Mama eva aunsh jiva. He says, Jiva is my aunsh alone. He is my part. And then the life of the Jiva, which will resonate very much with us because we are the Jiva. So that is how we live our life. That is how we've been living our life. And then the gati. Gati is movement, but gati in Vedanta means movement after the body has fallen. So after the present body falls, after the death of the present body, what happens to this Jiva in future? That also Bhagwan will tell. And then he goes on to explain Ishvara. And finally, we start with three things, me, world, and Ishvara. And the final thought, understanding has to be, there are not three entities, there is only one. And who is that one? It's me. It's me. I am the substratum of the world, and I am also the substratum of Ishvara. because as the Supreme Consciousness, as the pure consciousness, I support the totality as well as the individuality. That is the final understanding that has to come after this chapter. In chapter 7, we saw para and apara prakriti. Bhagavan Shankaracharya's commentaries would never say this type of thing, but like I told you, we study under acharyas who read other commentaries by other commentators, and some of those other ones, they sort of take this. So what is said is para apara is feminine gender. So Bhagavan in chapter 7 said there is para vidya or para prakriti, apara prakriti, and I am turiya. I am beyond para and apara. Then in chapter 13, we heard a kshetra and kshetradnya, field and the knower of the field. And there also Bhagavan said that understand this knower to be me and to be the same in all the bodies. Chapter 13, that is kshetra, kshetradnya is neutral gender. And now in this chapter, Bhagavan is going to say kshara and akshara purusha. And kshara and akshara is masculine. So some commentators say the reason that Bhagavan has used the three genders, and in all three he says, I am beyond these, means he's not masculine, feminine, or neutral. This is not Bhagavan Shankaracharya, okay? He would never say things like that. But there are some commentators, and yeah, it kind of makes sense. So we have to know Brahman or the pure consciousness as being beyond all genders. Okay. So we have seen this thought we have seen before, chapter 1 to 6, the Tvampada Shodhanam, which is the purification of the Jiva. Then we see Tatpada Shodhanam, which is the discovery of the self, the highest self. And now we are in the part of Asi. Tattvam Asi, we are in the part of Asi. Here, we will see this Asi between Jiva and Ishvara. Jiva and Ishvara are one. This is what Bhagavan is going to establish by the end of this chapter. Okay? Now, this, there are four things that this chapter will deal with. First is the world, so that we develop dispassion. Second is Jiva. Who is this Jiva exactly? Third is Ishvara. There is the relationship between Jiva and Ishvara, which is only one. Okay. And whatever is described, Bhagavan will say it is a superimposition. And so the method of superimposition and de-superimposition is given. Because superimposition is what is happening, and we need to know the method to de-superimpose. And that also we will see. All right. So with that much introduction, Atha panchadashodhyayah Shri Bhagavan uvacha urdhvamoolamadhashakham ashvattham prahuravyayam chandaosi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavita. The Blessed Lord said, they, wise people, speak of the indestructible people tree, ficus religiosa, having its root above and branches below, whose leaves are the Vedas. He who knows it is a Veda knower, is a knower of the Vedas. Bhagavan uvacha, Bhagavan, we have seen the possessor of Bhaga. Bhaga is the six qualities, 100%, 100% of the time, at all times, at all places, Aishwarya, Yasha, Shri, Dharma, Vairagya, and Jnana. The reason that this is said not Krishna Vacha and Bhagavan Vacha is to know that the words of Bhagavan, who is the possessor of these six qualities in complete full, were true 5,000 years ago when they were said. They are true today, and they will remain true 5,000, 10,000, for eternity, they will remain true. Nothing in Bhagavad Gita can be negated or falsified. It is true. If we do not understand it, we have to correct our understanding. But whatever Bhagavan has said is true, is correct. Okay, we may not understand it because we have very limited understanding. And we might think, how come this is this way? But it is that way. Why? Because Bhagwan has said it. Okay. Urdhvam Moolam Adhashakham. Let's start with that. Urdhva and Adha, these are the two words there. Urdhva means above. Literally, if you take the meaning of Urdhva, it's above. And Adha means below. So what is mean? Okay, before anything, this is a metaphor. This verse is a metaphor. What is it a metaphor? This sansara, this world, I told you, Bhagwan is starting with a description of the world. So the world is being compared to a tree, a banyan tree, Ashwatha tree. Okay? And this metaphor has been lifted from Kathopanishad. Let me tell you that also. Bhagwan has, it's not Bhagwan's origin, it's in Kathopanishad where Lord Yama had told this to Nachiketas. And from there he has lifted it, which is fine. No problem, because anyway, Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Vedas or of the Upanishads. So if he's taking things from the Upanishads, there's no problem. Now, let us see an ordinary tree, like a tree which we see every day. The roots are underground, actually. The roots are underground. Then there is a trunk, and then there are branches. And then those branches have got leaves, and then the branches... the flowers come, the buds come, then the flowers come. There are nodes on the branches. If you like, of course, in the next verse, we'll go into details, but there are nodes and then the buds come and the bud becomes a flower and then the flower becomes a fruit. And inside that fruit, there is a seed, which is again planted, which again gives rise to another tree. Okay, that's very simple. All right. Now, so that is a vriksha. That is a vriksha tree. And this is a samsara vriksha. It is the tree of samsara. Now the question arises is why is Bhagwan comparing the world to a tree? Why not something else? Idea is that a tree can be cut down. And we see that logging companies are cutting down trees all the time. They're planting also, but they're cutting. So just as a tree can be cut down, so also Bhagwan says this world can be cut down. Now we have to understand this. The cutting of the tree, of course, is physical. Physically, people go cut the tree, and that's possible. The world cutting is physically, we cannot touch the world. We cannot do anything to the world. But this cutting of the samsara vriksha is through dispassion. When you become dispassionate towards it, what is dispassion? Vairagya, where things that are happening in the world do not affect you as much. As seekers, it shouldn't affect you. If you're dispassionate towards something, things that happen should not be affecting you that much. And when Bhagwan says this world can be cut just like a tree, that's why I'm comparing this to a tree. It means that dispassion has to be developed towards the samsara vriksha, the tree of samsara. Okay. Now, how is this samsara vriksha, how it is? Urdhvam moola, the root is above. It's like a biological tree, but don't think like that. Urdhva, though it means literally means above, what urdhva means is subtle. And what root means is cause. You know, we say, oh, the root cause of your illness is this, right? So root, the word root in English is used in the form of cause also. What is the root of your problem? We say that now. Oh, the root of your problem is this, you know, or that, whatever. So here, the root means cause. So what is the cause of this world? Bhagwan is saying it is extremely subtle. Okay. What is meant by subtle? We have seen which cannot be seen by the senses, perceived by the senses. So seen, heard, touch, taste, and smell cannot be perceived by the senses. And subtlest is that which is beyond time. Because whatever is within time, whatever has begun within time will end in time. But this cause is so subtle, it is beyond time. And what is beyond time is always nitya, is always eternal. So the cause of this samsara vriksha is eternal. And what is eternal is Brahman, your consciousness. But Can Brahman alone be the cause of this world? We have studied in chapter 13. Exactly. No. It cannot be the cause of this world because it loses its position as the non-doer. And therefore, what is the actual cause of this world is Brahman plus Maya, or we can also say Purusha plus Prakriti. Prakriti and Maya are synonyms, the words. But when Brahman is used, generally Maya word will be used. And when Purusha word is used, which is same as Brahman, Prakriti word will be used. Okay. So Brahman plus Maya. And what is Maya? It is the inherent power of the Lord. So if Maya is the inherent power of the Lord, and if the Lord, Brahman, is imperishable, eternal, Maya also has to be eternal. Okay. Prakriti or Maya also cannot be destroyed. Now, what is Prakriti or what is Maya? We have studied in chapter 14, is nothing but the three gunas. It's nothing but the three gunas, which can never be seen. We have seen that. They can never be seen. They can only be inferred from their effects. And the effects of these three gunas is this world. And therefore, in this world, we see the three principles of purity, knowledge, dynamism, and inertia. But can we see the gunas? No, we cannot see the gunas. Can we see Prakriti? No, we cannot. So Prakriti and Brahman both are subtle. Now, between Brahman and Prakriti, Brahman always remains unmanifest. Brahman can never become manifest. What is manifest and unmanifest? Manifest, which can be seen by the senses or inferred by the senses or perceived by the senses. So Brahman can never be perceived or inferred by the senses, but Prakriti can be manifest or unmanifest. Prakriti can change sides. So when everything is in balance, when the gunas are in balance, Prakriti remains, Prakriti or Maya remains unmanifest, in unmanifest condition with Brahman, as Brahman. But when the gunas start stirring, Prakriti manifests, and she manifests, Maya or Prakriti manifests as this world. Okay, so far so good. So this root, meaning the cause, is very, very subtle. The cause is Brahman plus Maya, never Brahman alone. Brahman is always unmanifest. Maya can be manifest or unmanifest. Maya is nothing but the three gunas. Maya and gunas can never be seen, but there they can be inferred from the effects. And we see the effects in this world. And we have talked about that in chapter 14. So I'm not going to go into that. All right. Okay. Now, this adha shakham here, branch going down, that stem here, understand the shaka to be five elements. Why? Because this world is nothing but a mixture of the five elements. Okay, now shaka word will be described in great detail in verse 2 by Bhagwan. So I'm not going to go into much detail here now, but right here, just understand that this shaka means from above, from the subtle cause, from the subtle source, through the five elements has come this world that I see, that I hear, taste, touch, smell, perceive, infer, whatever. All right. So this urdhvamoolam, adha shakham, ashvatham, this world, which has come from this cause through the five elements, through Prakriti, through the gunas, is ashvatham. Ashvatha word is very peculiar. Shva means tomorrow. If you break that word, it has got three syllables. There is a, there is shva, and there is tha. So shva means tomorrow. Tha means that which stays. Stha. Tishthati word comes from there. So this tha means stha. Stha means stays. And a means opposite. When we put the prefix a, it becomes, means that which does not stay the same tomorrow is ashvatha. Shwa is tomorrow, Tha is staying, A is a negative. So that which does not stay the same tomorrow is Ashwatha. And this world is Ashwatha, means this world is that which does not stay the same tomorrow, which in simple terms, this world is constantly changing. That's the simple part of that Ashwatha. Okay. So the world is constantly changing. However, what is our experience? If I get up in the morning, look out of the window, it's the same tree. Do you think suddenly the tree has changed? It's the same tree that I see, the same mountains that I see, everything I see the same. Yet Bhagwan is saying it is changing. And we have talked about this idea as well. The best thing, example I can give you is the body. We think, 6:30, we started the class and I was here, and at 7:30, I'm the one that's going to go away. The body will have changed. We don't see it, but there are many cells that would have died, and there are many cells that would have been born in our body. So every minute, every hour, the body is changing. The body is also part of the world, and the world is changing. So even if I see the same tree, maybe there are a few leaves that are extra. Now autumn is coming. One day there will be leaves, the next day there will be no leaves on the tree. So this world is constantly changing. This is what Bhagwan is saying. This world, whose cause is extremely subtle, that's why above, Urdhva, literal meaning should not be taken. The implied meaning is subtle. So the cause of this world is extremely subtle, means cause is Brahman plus Prakriti or Maya. Through the five elements, this world has come and it's constantly changing. Okay, now we are happy with it, right? Because I understand that it is constantly, though I see the same tree, I see the same people. Every week I'm seeing all of you, you're seeing me. I am not the same from last week. But you can't see that. And you are not the same either. Okay, changing. Prahuhu is say. Avyayam Ashwatham yet avyayam na vyati iti avyaya. Avyaya means imperishable. Imperishable means unchanging. So now what has Bhagwan said? This world, which has come from this subtle cause, is changing and it's imperishable. It's just not changing. Because how do I say perishable is changing? Today, from morning went into afternoon. Afternoon became evening. Means morning perished, na? Isn't it? So morning perished, became afternoon. Afternoon perished, became evening. Evening is perishing and will perish and will become night. So perishing means changing, and imperishing means not changing. If morning would not have perished, then morning only should have remained. But morning is perished. So perishing means changing, imperishing means not changing. And Bhagwan is saying the world is changing, yet it's not changing. Okay, so this is what we have to understand. It's a contrast. It's two opposite things. Bhagwan, you just said it's changing, and we kind of wrapped our head around it, saying that, I thought I have not changed in the last 8 days, but now I understand that maybe my body has changed. And now you're telling me that it's the world is not changing. So we have to understand this. Now, in this perishing, nitya word, eternal word, this avyayam means eternal. Okay, so nitya. What in Sanskrit we say nitya, there are two types of nitya. One is a kutastha nitya, one is a pravahi nitya. Kutastha nitya is one and one alone, the om in our chart or Brahman, which never ever changes. Within itself, there is no change. Outside, there is no change. We have seen the words achala and nishchala, where, movement. The tree is also very stationary, but there is movement inside it. The leaves move, the branches move, whereas the mountain stays and there is no movement inside there. So kutastha nitya is where there is absolutely no change within or without. But pravahi nitya is, it appears unchanging, but there is a change. And the best example is the river. So when I say that I go for a walk along the Fraser River every day it is the same river, is it really the same river? Because the water is flowing. So actually when I went up the river, the water was flowing. And when I come down, the water is different. When I went up, the water was different, because why? The water is constantly flowing. So this constant flow is changing, but the bed of the river stays the same. If you take our own example, haven't you heard, many, many people I have heard saying, oh, I don't feel any different inside. Have you heard that? I don't feel. It's your own experience. Look at yourself. Inside, do you feel any change? Inside, you don't. But then there are so many things that the body cannot do, cannot handle, cannot digest foods that much, or cannot walk that much, or cannot lift that much, or whatever. So this world is changing. The names and forms are changing. But what is not changing is the gunas. If you take the world, the gunas are only, the percentages are changing. Is anything happening to the gunas? Or is anything happening to the five elements? So between the world is Ashwatha, the gunas are Avyaya. Okay. Then gunas is what? Prakriti. Prakriti becomes Avyaya, changing, because Prakriti can modify within itself. Brahman is Ashwatha. Avyaya, and Prakriti is Ashwatha. I'll give you an example. See, four yugas have happened, and we have said, first there was the Satya Yug, then the Treta Yug, then the Dwapara Yug, and now we are in the Kali Yug, right? The yugas have changed. But if you look at whatever happened in the past three yugas, there was, in every yuga, there was good and there was bad. First, there was Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, then Ravana was there, then Kamsa was there, and now there are adharmic people as well. So the yugas are Ashwatha, good and bad is Avyaya. So in the changing, there is the unchanging. Okay. Or another example, right now, COVID deaths throughout the world, what, half a million people or more have died because of COVID. Okay. Individuals have died. Has the human race been eradicated? So in these two, the individual is Ashwatha, the human race is Avyaya. Get this point? So in case of the world, what needs to be understood is that this world is changing constantly, but the substratum is unchanging. But its cause is unchanging. What is the definition of cause? The definition, final definition of cause, is that which does not have a cause. Cause is defined as that which does not have a cause. And what is effect? Effect is that which does not have an effect. So the causeless cause, Brahman is causeless cause. There is no further going. We have heard this in chapter 9. Bhagavan says, I am the father, the mother, and the grandfather, and the whatever great grandfather of this entire world. Okay, so that principle is Avyaya, is the principle. That's why I said humans will die, individuals will die, but the human race will continue. So Avyaya is the principle, Ashwatha is the manifestation. The one who understands this, the one who understands the changeless principle in the changing world, is a knower of the Vedas. That's what Bhagavan is saying here. The knower of the Vedas doesn't mean one who knows the Vedas by heart. Bhagavad Gita, if we can memorize the chapter, doesn't mean that we know. That's why we have somebody asking Gurudev, Gurudev, I have gone through the Gita 6 times. And what did Gurudev say? Has the Gita gone through you even once? So the knower of the Vedas is one through whom Gita has gone, not we. We have gone through the Gita. That is not a knower of the Vedas. Because here Vedas also includes Gita. Because why? Because Gita is in the sense of the Vedas. There is nothing in the Bhagavad Gita that is not in the Vedas, that is not in the Upanishad. That's why I'm telling you, this thing is in Kathopanishad. So it's not a brand new idea that Bhagavan is giving out. It is there. Okay, so the real knower of the Vedas is the one who can recognize that unchanging substratum in the changing world. Because the substratum of the world is Brahman plus Prakriti. But Prakriti, I told you, Prakriti cannot function without Purusha. That's why we cannot say that the cause is Prakriti alone. Prakriti cannot function without Purusha, and Purusha will not do anything. So both are required for this thing. Yeah, Premsai?
So from the perspective of the world is Ashuddha, and then the gunas are Avyaya. But then yeah. At the perspective further, then Prakriti becomes the Ashuddha.
Your voice is breaking. Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, yes.
My question was, the world is Ashvatta.
Correct. From gunas are avyaya. Correct.
But then from the perspective, if we look higher, then the gunas become Ashvatta and Brahman becomes avyaya.
Correct.
So just depend. Okay, perfect.
Correct. So the one who understands the final principle as the changeless substratum. And this is what Bhagavan will end by saying, who is that changeless substratum is you. This is what he will end with. But right now, understand. So the one who understands the subtle principle, the changeless principle in this changing world, the one who can see the bed of the river in the river. Okay. The one who can see the gunas in the manifestation of these three. The thing. That's why even when I did chapter 14, I told you, what did I tell you? The actions are being performed by the gunas. I, as that supreme substratum, have nothing to do with it. This part has to, the one who knows this is the knower of the Vedas. The other person is ignorant. That part has to be understood very, very clearly. That I, as that supreme consciousness, does nothing. I only witness. In my presence, the gunas can play. Because without my presence, the gunas can't play. The gunas are playing. They're interacting with each other. And action is coming out. So that difference, when I know, I am the knower of the Vedas. Now, Chandausi Yasya Parnani, the leaves are there on a tree. And on a tree, the leaves beautify the tree. See, now winter, autumn will come and all the leaves will fall. Does the tree look beautiful once all the leaves have fallen? Evergreen is there, thank God. But there are so many trees where the leaves are going to fall and so many people have to collect the leaves. I don't have to. I'm very happy, which I have done in my house. So when those leaves fall off, there is no beauty in the tree. So that's why the leaves beautify the tree. Not only do they beautify, for those of you who have studied a bit of botany, photosynthesis. The leaves will do photosynthesis by a process called photosynthesis. They will take the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and give out oxygen. So they are nourishing this world also by giving out this thing. So the leaves are beautifying and at the same time nourishing the world. And to look at, now the tree looks very beautiful. Because of the leaves. So Chandaus here is Vedas, the Vedas. So he says that the Vedas are the leaves of this Sansara Vraksha. Why? Because what are the Vedas? Vedas give us injunctions. They give us do's and don'ts. do this, don't do this. They give us a dharmic way of living, and anything opposed to that dharma is an adharmic way of living. So when we live our life as per the injunctions of the Vedas, life becomes beautiful. Then there is a beauty in our living. When we live a dharmic life, we live an honest life, we help others, all the good qualities, virtues, when we do, it beautifies our life. That's why the Vedas are called as the leaves. And the Vedas are the ones that are nourishing us, means what? Not that food, of course, in the Vedas, there is in the Karmakanda portion, that also is there, how to make wealth and, you know, all that is there, but it is nourishing us with virtues, with values. Without the injunctions of the Vedas, life would be, people would go amok. Some constitution has to be there, right? So Vedas is the divine constitution. Every country has its own constitution. And those are the rules that when we follow, then life is beautiful. Life is according to the, we are living as per whatever the laws of the land are, right? So that is there, but this is divine constitution because it has come from the Lord himself. So when we follow the divine constitution, obviously our life will become very, very beautiful. Any questions? Okay. Now, and the one who knows this is the knower of the Vedas. Now, how do I become a knower of the Vedas? Is by changing our vision. Changing our vision means what? Shifting attention from Ashwatha to Avyaya. Attention has to be shifted. That's it. Our mind, which is very extroverted, which is going into this world, which is indulging in this world constantly, needs to be turned inside. Okay. So that is one way. Is the world is Ashwatha, the gunas are Avyaya. The gunas are Ashwatha, Brahman is Avyaya. So vision needs to be changed. And that is how we will develop dispassion towards the world. Okay? That is the purpose of explaining this. Now, adhashodvam prasritastasya shakaha guna pravriddha vishaya pravalaha adhashchamulanyanusantatani karmanubandhini manushaloke. Below and above are spread as branches, nourished by the gunas. Sense objects are its buds, and below in the world of men, stretch forth the roots originating in action. So verse 1 told us the cause of this world, right? Subtle cause, it is above. And now what is being explained is the effect from that cause. Okay, so adhashchordvam adaha cha urdvam prasritastasya shakaha. So this tree has got, this sansara vraksha has got branches. I told you the ordinary tree, there's a trunk and then there's branches. So the trunk, which was shakha, was said in the first verse, the five elements, from these branches have come out. The branches are above, below and sideways. This is the type of branches that this sansara vraksha has. What is meant by above and below is, one meaning is, above is the six worlds above earth. Earth is the middle plane of consciousness. So there is a plane, there are six planes above us. Bhuva, Swaha, up to Brahmaloka. And below is the seven worlds below the earth. So Atala, Vitala, Talatala, Rasatala, Patala, all these are below. So that's why the branches, the cause of all these 14 worlds is the same, Brahman. They're not coming from different causes. So that's why Bhagwan describes this samsara vraksha as having branches above, below and sideways. Means what? Sideways is what? Earth. On the earthly plane, we see you. All the sentient beings. Now, on the earthly plane itself, we have branches above and below. Means what? Human race is considered the highest. Below us are the animals. Below them are the plants. So there also there is this hierarchy. Or in the humans itself, what like Gurudev would say, there are God men, there is a God man or God men, man, man, and then animal man. So there also there is a hierarchy. So this is what is meant by these branches, shakha, okay, of the sansara vraksha. Because the world is being described. What is there in the world? We have seen that Shastra says that there are 14 worlds. So there's above and below, and earth is the middle plane. Okay, so above, below. Then now sideways. So on the earth itself, there are again above and below branches. Okay, right. Okay, adha cha urdhvam prasritastasya shakaha guna pravruddha vishaya pravalaha. Guna pravruddha. Pravruddha means what? Nourished by the gunas. What is the purpose of the gunas? We studied in chapter 14. The gunas are the one that are making us act. So who is nourishing this, keeping, what is nourishment meant for? Staying alive, right? Why do I eat? So that the body will live. So who is nourishing this, these worlds, this shakha? Who is nourishing? Shakha means not the ordinary branch of the ordinary tree, but this is the sansara vraksha, where the shakhas are all these worlds. And these worlds are continuing because of what? Because of actions. And who, why are actions happening? Because of whom are actions happening is gunas. And we have studied the gunas in detail, sattva, rajas, tamas, right? So guna pravraddha, vishaya pravalaha, sense objects. So these sense objects that I see, they are, for them, these actions are being done. Why am I doing action? Why would I do action? Because I'm looking for happiness. And where am I looking for happiness? In the sense objects right now. In the world, in my, you know, family, all this is world only. Family is world, body itself is world, mind is world, everything is world. So there are these various sense objects. So these sense objects are forcing us to act. Forcing means what? We saw, that's why those who are studying chapter 2, Bhagwan said, withdraw the senses. That's why he has warned. This is what is happening, because this is what is keeping this world going. World is what it's, you know, me going. How is this body going or jiva going from one bird to another? Because of the actions that the jiva is performing. Thinking that the jiva is real, thinking that I am real and that this world is real, I perform actions to gain objects. And I am making the blueprint for my next birth. Arisvas, and below in the world of men, stretch forth the roots originating in action. Adhascha moolan anusantatani. Again, the roots here, because the objects become the cause for the actions, and then karma anubandhini manushaloke. Karma anubandhini, anu following, bandhini bondage. So what these actions are doing, which are pravruddha, which have been nourished by the gunas, means the gunas are doing these actions for the sense objects. And these actions are then binding us to manusha loka, means it is binding us to this world. Manusha loka is this world. So what is binding us is this world. See, the ashwatha tree, it is in chapter 10, if you remember, Bhagwan said, among the trees, I am Ashwatha. I'm the Ashwatha tree, it's the banyan tree. If you know this banyan tree, you know, it has roots, it has a strong trunk. And then there are the branches that go. And the branches, from the branches, there will be roots actually coming down. Because that tree is very, very old, like it lives for a long time and it's very strong. It needs additional roots to bind it to the earth. So what happens is it has roots underneath, under the ground, but from the branches which are above the ground, come the roots, they come down and they also fix themselves into the earth. So that tree has double support. It has support from the roots which were already underground. And now the roots that have come from above, they have gone into the ground. And now that tree is firmly established in the earth. And this is what is being explained to us by calling this world as the Ashwatha. So Ashwatha is changing also, and Ashwatha is also the tree. So it's like this Ashwatha tree, Bhagwan is saying. How is this? How the roots come down and they fix that tree to the earth. These actions that we do constantly with doership and enjoyership, they are now binding us to this Manushya Loka. This is how bondage is caused. And we have seen this many times. Actions are nourished, done by the gunas. I, in my ignorance, think that I am the one that is doing the actions. And now these actions are like, now they cause secondary roots, like that Ashwatha tree has these secondary roots, which are fixing it into the ground once again. These actions are now fixing us to this world, binding us to this world. That's why in chapter 14, the Gunatita Purusha is one who recognizes that this gunas is Ashwatha and I am Avyaya. Understand this point. That's why this Ashwatha and Avyaya is very important to understand. I told the world is Ashwatha, gunas are Avyaya, but gunas are Ashwatha when compared to Brahman. And the Gunatita Purusha is one who understands that the gunas are Ashwatha and I am not the gunas. I am Avyaya. So whatever actions have happened, they have happened in my presence. They've happened because of me, but I have not done them. And the one who understands that is the knower of the Vedas. And he will not get bound. He or she will not get bound to this Manushya Loka. But all others are going to, even the people who do good actions. See, this is a very common mistake. We are good people. We are doing, but good actions will bind you to a good birth. It will bind. Good or bad, both will bind. And that's why Bhagwan has always said, go beyond good and bad. Sukha dukhe same krutva. He doesn't say only dukkha, go away from dukkha. He says, go away from sukha also. You have to rise beyond. So this is what is meant here. Anusantatani karma anubandini manushalut. Anu following. Following the karmas done by the jivas. These karmas are the ones that are keeping this world going. How is the human race avyaya? If the entire human race were to understand that they are the avyaya Brahman, finish. Everybody would be liberated. There would be no human race. But no, that doesn't happen. This is how we are tied to this sansara. Samsarati iti samsara. That which is constantly moving, that which is constantly changing is sansara. And we are bound to it because of our own foolishness, our own ignorance. That's why Bhagwan is saying, right in the first verse, he said, the one who knows Avyaya and Ashwatha, he is the knower of the Vedas. And this is the description of the world. Okay? Any questions? We'll stop here today because next verse, Bhagwan is now going to pull the rug from our feet. That's what he's going to do. Next verse. No questions? Anybody has any questions? Anything to ask? Understand this very clearly, okay? If there is any doubt in your mind, ask it right now rather than, you know. Everybody's okay? All right. Next week is the long weekend. So 11th, we will not have this class, but we will have it on the 18th. Okay. So, and also next Friday, there won't be a class. Am I right? Yeah, 8th. So 8th is coming up and that's the long weekend. So 8th also Vivek Churamani class will not be there. And so that's it. All right. So there are no questions. I will stop for today. We'll start the next verse. next on the 18th. Om Swasti Prajabhyah Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Gobrahmanebhyah Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamkshobarahita Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत् ओम असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ओम शांति शांति शांतिः हरिः ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम हरि ओम एवरीबॉडी